For those of you who don't know, like Sue said, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor here at Grace Community Church. Excited you could be with us here today. Before I get into our sermon, I just had one announcement I wanted to make. In 2 weeks here, on April 14th, is what we have is called Palm Sunday or Baptism Sunday here at Grace Community Church. And it is a time we've talked about before, but a time where if you want to share your faith with others and show people, I've made a decision to follow Christ with my life, then I would invite you to be here to take part in this service, to come and be baptized right up here, and to show people that you've given your life to Christ, that you want to follow him and you want more of him inside of you, that you want his image to be shown through your life. And if you have, if you've already been baptized, this is a great time to be here to encourage those to celebrate with them, because this is a momentous time in someone's life to show this change that has happened, that they sit there and go, it's not a physical change, but it's a change of being representative, going under the water and coming back up a new person, a new life in Christ. So if you have not been baptized and you're interested in getting baptized and you're interested in finding out more information, back at the info table, you can sign up for more information, but they also have some booklets you can have, what it means to be baptized, what the process is, but also understanding that relationship as well and understanding what the symbolism there is of understanding that decision to make. So if you have not been baptized and you're interested in it, please go back after service. They would love to chat with you, give you some stuff, and let you know what's going to be happening. So that is in 2 weeks on April 14th. And it's an exciting time in the church where we get to celebrate together with people who have made that decision. So just wanted to share that with people. And then we are going to be now continuing on in our sermon series, our Lent sermon series called The Lord's Prayer. We are continuing on the Lord's Prayer, and it is a sermon series that we're having, which we are looking at this idea of prayer in the life of the church and in our lives, of having a prayer life focused on God. And so we thought the best way to do that is to look at the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus showed us of how to pray. And these words that he used and the way he said of how to pray is not some magical words that if you say them and you say X, Y, Z, well, suddenly it makes everything better. That's not what the Lord's Prayer is. What the Lord's Prayer is Jesus teaching us the way we pray, the heart with which we pray, the manner in which we pray. And so we've been going through that, looking at keeping God's name holy first in our life and looking at his will be done, not our own, of his kingdom come. And last week we looked at this idea of give us our daily bread. And Mike Nagel was here and did a great job of explaining what it means to rely on God on a daily basis for what we need today in our lives, both physically and spiritually and mentally, and sitting there going, God, give me what I need today. I don't need to store it up for a week and only pray to you once a week and hope you give it to me for the whole week. Come to God daily and have him give us our daily bread, our daily nutrition, our daily needs every single day. And I also looked at his PowerPoint and saw as he went through it and realized he had a whole lot of pictures of some really good bread in there. And if you struggle and you can't eat bread, that was a horrible sermon probably to have. But it looked great, and Mike did a great job of that understanding of needing God every single day, of praying to God every single day and keeping us in prayer. And so today we are going to be looking at the next section of the Lord's Prayer, and it's this idea of forgiveness. It says this in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, if you read different versions of the Bible, you may notice that some of these words are a little different. They have a couple different words in for some of these things, especially this word for debt. And so the reason is that is if you look into the Greek of this word, the first word for the word right there at the beginning, and forgive us our debts, is this word ophilema. Ophilema. And this word ophilema really means a couple things. It means a debt, something that is owed. It means an offense, something that is against someone else. And it means sin. So really, it's this idea that there is some kind of offense or sin, something that is owed to someone else. Something has been done and now something's owed in repayment. And so that's what the idea of this word is. And then the other word that we saw there for debtor is this other word, ophilates. And ophilates means one who is indebted, one that owes something. It means someone who has sinned against another and a sinner. So So when you're reading different, if you read the NIV or the NLT, or you're reading different versions, as you're understanding this concept here, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Really, the verse reads like this, and forgive us our debts, our offense, and our sin, as we also have forgiven those who are in debt to us, have sinned against us, and are sinners. This is the idea of this verse, is forgive us for what we've done. Forgive us for the debt we owe you, God. Forgive us how we've offended against you. Forgive us for the sin in our life. And also help us forgive those who are in debt to us, who have sinned against us, and who are just sinners in general. And so when Jesus was talking about this, he was talking about this idea that there's a problem here. There's something in between us. There's something standing in the way of this relationship we have together, between us and God and between us and each other. He's saying, God, forgive me for what is in there in between us. Forgive me for what I have done to break my relationship with you. And help me forgive others as they've broken a relationship with me. Now this first part of this is pretty easy, I think. When we sit there and go, God, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our offense. Forgive us our sin. This is a really grand request. Up to this point, we've had different petitions of, may your name be kept holy. God, can your will be done? God, can you go ahead and your kingdom come? God, can you take care of my daily bread? And now we're saying, God, can you forgive me? Saying, God, you're all these things. Can you give me my daily bread? But now, God, I'm looking a little more internally. Can you forgive me for what I've done? Can you forgive our debts? This is a grand request because this is going to the heart of understanding the first part of the Lord's Prayer, which is, God, may your name be kept holy. And saying, if we're asking God to forgive us for our debts, it means we recognize that God is holy and we are not. Really what it's saying is when we ask for forgiveness, we are recognizing that we need forgiveness. See, if you don't recognize you need forgiveness, if you sit there and go, I think I'm fine. I think I'm doing just peachy all on my own. I haven't done anything. I don't need anyone's forgiveness. Then you wouldn't ask for it. You wouldn't ask God, God, can you forgive me? The first step in asking forgiveness is recognizing that we need it. Is recognizing we have sinned against God. Recognizing God created the universe. He rules over the universe. He created us. He created us for a relationship with him. And because of our sin nature, because of our brokenness, we have failed God. And we need his forgiveness. We need that in our lives. In fact, in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9, it says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, it was being said here, look, if you think that you don't need help, you're just kidding yourself. If you think that you go, I got it all figured out on my own, you're just fooling yourself. You're not living in the truth. Recognizing that we need God, that we need his forgiveness, is the first step. It recognizes our brokenness. It recognizes how we failed. It recognizes our sin nature. And that's why it's, God, forgive us our debts. Forgive us for how we've offended you, for how we've sinned, for how broken we are. And the beautiful thing is, he says he will. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has rescued us. This is a grand idea because we need to understand we need forgiveness from God. We need forgiveness for the sins, forgiveness for the problems we've created. Because guess what? We can't take care of that ourselves. It doesn't matter how good you are, how many great things you do, how many nice things you say. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't get out from under your sin by being good, by being nice, by doing. That is not how we're saved. That is not how we get forgiveness for God. We get forgiveness from God simply by asking for God's forgiveness. And that's the only way we can receive it, by God choosing to forgive us. And so we ask God, God, will you forgive me? And the beautiful thing is, we are forgiven. If you ask God to forgive you, if you ask God and say, God, I have sinned, I'm broken, I want to have faith in you, and I want you to rule over my life. Guess what? Immediately, you're forgiven. You're forgiven as far as the east is from the west. That sin is gone. God says it is no longer there. He doesn't see us in our brokenness anymore. He said, you now have faith in Jesus Christ. He stands in your place. He took that pain or that penalty and that debt. And now you're forgiven. I only see the righteousness of Jesus in you. But why would we then continue to need to ask for forgiveness? Well, because we're told to confess to God. And we're told that even though we are forgiven and we have righteousness in Jesus, continue to say, God, forgive me for what I've done. Confess to him our sins. Let him continue to work in us, to cleanse our hearts, to bring us to maturity in him, so that we have more and more of Jesus in our lives and more of him shining through us. So that's why it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. On a daily basis, God, take care of us. Forgive us. Let us come to you. The second part of that, when we say, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, the first part, right? God, forgive us our debts. That's a great one because we know God's going to forgive us. He's promised he would. Everything's going to be great. And then we get to the second part. As we also have forgiven our debtors, as we've also forgiven those who have sinned against us, we've also forgiven those who have offended us, also forgiven those who have made life difficult for us, who have caused pain, who have caused grief. This one's not as easy. This one's a little tougher because we have a perfect God, a perfect Father who loves us, who cares for us, who wants to take care of us, who wants that relationship. And so we know when we call on him, he's perfect in every way. He is holy. He is perfect in his goodness. But when it turns around the other way, I'm still a broken person. So I have to ask God, as I've also forgiven my debtors, have I forgiven those people who have sinned against me? This one's a lot tougher. This one's tougher because it calls on us to do something. It calls on us to reach out. In fact, we are called to forgive others here. But throughout the Bible, throughout Jesus' talks, throughout his going around and ministering to people, he talks many times about us needing to forgive others. In fact, when he goes through this Lord's Prayer, and he goes through every single point, when he's all done with the Lord's Prayer, and he finishes it and tells his disciples, he doesn't go on to the next topic. He doesn't go on to something else. He comes back and says, okay, I just gave you the whole thing. God is holy, will be done, kingdom, bread, forgiveness, all this stuff, right? I want to make sure I clear things up for you guys with this forgiveness thing. He goes back and he clarifies only one point in the Lord's Prayer. And it is about forgiveness. And he says this as soon as the Lord's Prayer is done. These are his words. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That one makes me cringe inside. I don't like that verse. I'm really good with the Lord's Prayer. I'm good with God's holiness. I'm good with his kingdom. I'm good with his will. I'm good him taking care of my daily needs. I'm good with him forgiving me. I'm good with this, right? But when you sit there and go, God's saying, because you need to understand, you don't forgive others. Your heavenly Father won't forgive you. That is a tough one. And I think that's a tough one because I sit there and go, wait a minute, you're promising me forgiveness. And you say you will forgive and we call on your name. But if I don't forgive others, I'm not forgiven? I think sometimes we kind of look at this. I know I have for years. I looked at it backwards saying, I'm forgiven. And then if I don't forgive others, that forgiveness is taken away. That's how I kind of understood that verse to mean. God forgave me, but now I don't forgive someone. So now I'm out. And that's not, I think, what it's saying. I think it's really going, if we aren't willing to others, do we really understand the forgiveness that's been given to us? If we sit there and go, I can't forgive someone for how they've offended me, do we really get what it means that God has forgiven us? And I think this is true, especially because Jesus helps clarify this later in Matthew, and where he gives the parable of the unmerciful servant. Who here knows the parable of the unmerciful servant? A few people, good? All right. I'm going to share it with you today if you've never heard it. The parable of the unmerciful servant is a great one. Peter asked, how many times should I forgive someone? 7 times? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7 times, or 77 times, depending on the translation, how that word is used. But you are to just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. He said, let me explain it to you. Here's what it's like, and here's what it is. And so he went and said, here is how to understand this concept. There was this king, and this king decided that he was going to collect all the debts to owe to him. He was going to settle all his accounts. And so he started bringing people in to settle his accounts and to take care of them and to make sure that whoever owed him money paid it off, and so he could start fresh and keep going with his kingdom. And he calls in this servant who owes him some money. And the amount of money that he owed him was 10,000 talents. Now, when you first read that, you may sit there and go, all right, 10,000 talents, that's a little bit of money. Who here knows exactly how much a talent is worth? If you were here first service, Bill, that doesn't count. All right, I'm going to explain it to you. A talent, this guy was owed 10,000 talents to the king. 1 talent is worth 33 kilograms of gold, or 73 pounds about of gold. He owed him 10,000 of those. In today's dollar, 10,000 talents would equal $14 trillion. There's a couple questions that come to my mind right away. What kind of business investment did this guy do that he lost $14 trillion? I mean, holy cow. How do you owe someone that much money? That's ridiculous. One person owed $14 trillion. Think of when Jesus told people this. He's like, there's a guy that comes to the king. The king calls him and he owes 10,000 talents. People have been like, are you freaking joking me? This guy's hosed. He's done. King's going to be out with him. So this guy owes this debt that is just ridiculous. Astronomical. It is gone. It is over. And the king says, you owe me these 10,000 talents. He says, what's going to happen here is you and your wife and your children are all going to be sold to pay off this debt. You lose everything and you're all gone. That's it. And this guy falls to his knees in front of the king. And he says these words, be patient. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. Now think of how silly that sounds. Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back the $14 trillion. If I owed you $2 million, and I said, hey, just give me some time, I'll come up with it soon, you'd be like, no, you won't. Kelly, you're a pastor. I can see your salary. It's not going to happen. Right? It's ridiculous amounts. He's like, be patient with me. Be patient, I will pay it off. And the king takes mercy and has pity on this person, and he forgives him his debt, he canceled it, and he let the man go. Cancels a $14 trillion debt. Says, it's done. Go on your way. Now, this is an amazing story. You sit there and go, what a gracious king. How amazing they would cancel that. What, that would have paid for his kingdom for 100 years. I mean, it's craziness. But what really happens next is where the story takes a turn. That servant, who was just forgiven a debt he could never pay back in his whole life, goes out and he finds another servant that owes him money. And this next servant owes him 100 denarii. and he owes him 100 denarii, and he grabs the servant, and he grabs them, and he starts demanding the money from him, not to just the point of demand, but it says he chokes him to get that money. Like, you will give it to me, this 100 denarii. Now, we need to understand, how much is 100 denarii? Well, one denarius is one day's wage. So in today's dollar, for the average worker back then, 100 denarii would have been about $11,000. Now, if you came up to me today and said, and started choking me and said, you pay this money back, I could probably find a way. I could sell a couple vehicles or a kid or something, and I could get you that money. We had two kids, always have a backup. But I could probably come up with that money. We could make it happen. But this guy's like, you give me my money now, and he starts choking him. Starts choking him for this $11,000. And what do you think that servant said to him? He said these words, be patient with me. Be patient with me, and I'll pay it back. And he said, nope, not a bit. And he had him thrown in prison and said, you'll stay in prison until you pay it back. But once you're in prison, it's kind of hard to pay back money, isn't it? So pretty much all this mercy he had gotten, he decided not to give any of it to the other guy. The other servants saw this, and they saw what happened, and they went to the king because they were distraught, because they couldn't believe what had happened, and they saw their friend thrown into prison for a small debt. This is what Jesus says here in Matthew 18, verse 32 to 35, to finish this up. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Those are the words of Jesus. As he tells this parable, he says, this is how my Father will deal with you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Jesus once again says these same words. If you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. And there's a reason that we need to forgive. Think of this guy, $14 trillion he owed, and it was wiped clean, done, completely and fully, without a second issue, without anything. He let him go. It's wiped clean. Your debt is paid. And then for this little bit of $11,000, compared to $14 trillion, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's a tiniest little debt. For that amount of money, he choked him, had him thrown in prison, and he was done with him. When God's talking about forgiveness, when Jesus is talking about forgiveness, this is what he's talking about, going, look, do you understand what you've been forgiven? Do you understand that I had a perfect relationship with you? That I, who am perfect and holy and created everything and holds the universe together, forgave you for every offense you've ever done against me, for putting idols before me, for worshiping other things and making them more important for me, for all the things you do that have destroyed our relationship together. I forgive you. I died for you. I rose again for you. And I forgive you for all that. How much are you willing to forgive for the little things people do to you? Now, I understand sometimes it's not little things. That people can hurt us for years. That people can cause pain in our life. That our hearts can be broken. That our lives can be torn apart. But at the same time, if we understand, if we really understand what God has done for us, if we really understand that he's forgiven us for everything, then we should be willing to forgive others. We should be willing to let things go, to say, I forgive you. It hurt. I'm not saying it's okay. We always teach our kids, when someone says they're sorry, don't say it's okay. It's not okay. It's wrong. You've hurt me. It's not okay. But I forgive you. I forgive you even though what you did was wrong. I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to release it from my hand. The word in the Old Testament is salak for forgiveness. This idea of holding anger in your fist and then releasing it. Of releasing it out. Of when you have anger in your fist because you're upset at something. And then letting it go and just watching it fly away from you. This is this idea of forgiveness that we have. God has forgiven us for everything. Everything. We as Christians should be willing to forgive others for this much in comparison. Even though it may hurt us, even though it may be a lot to us because it's our lives, compared to what God's done for us, it's nothing. It's nothing. A few weeks ago when we were talking about the kingdom of heaven and we were going through the study guide questions, one of the questions was, what would you see, what really entices you is this idea of the kingdom of heaven? Is it a kingdom where there's justice or where there's perfect reign or these different things? And there was one section there that this idea of a kingdom of forgiveness that just captured me to go, can you imagine if we lived in a world where people actually forgave each other completely and fully all the time? Where everyone forgave. Could you imagine how many problems would just disappear? How many problems in this world would just be gone if we could forgive each other? Forgive each other as God's forgiven us? Just a fraction of what God's forgiven us? This would be a different world we lived in. This would be a world where love actually reigns supreme over everything. Where our hearts would be changed. This is what this prayer is about. This is what Jesus was saying. Forgive us our debts. He's saying we need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to ask Him to forgive our offense to Him and our sins against Him. And in just the same way that we ask Him to forgive us, we need to offer forgiveness to others. It's a beautiful thing, the more and more that we have God in our life, the more and more we understand what He's done for us, the more time we spend with Him in prayer, the more time His heart becomes our heart, we start to recognize that when we forgive someone else, it's a little bit compared to what God's done for us. And out of what God's done for us, we're excited to forgive. It seems weird to be excited to forgive, but to see relationships restored, that's what God really does when He forgives us. He restores our perfect relationship with Him. He makes it so that sin that is in between us, the offenses in between us, are pulled away and we have a relationship with Him once again. And He asks us to do the same things with each other. If I want to restore that with you, He said, you restore it with other people. And not letting those offenses and those sins and those hurts come in between us. That the relationship with God and the relationship with each other can continue to improve and be restored and be healed as we come closer and closer to Him. And this would be my prayer for you, is that you understand this, that when you're praying to God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, you would remember what God's done for you. You would remember how He's changed your life. And you would want to give that same thing to others as you forgive them. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord God, thank you so much we could be here today, and thank you that we could be in your presence. God, we need your forgiveness. Without it, there's no chance we can have a true, deep relationship with you, God. Sin will always be in between us. But Lord, out of your grace and out of your mercy, you have told us that you do forgive us, that we simply call on your name, that we have faith in you, and that you forgive us for every sin, every offense we've ever committed, God. Lord, I pray that we would continue to ask for that forgiveness, that you would continue to mold our hearts, to change us, to turn us into more of the image of you. Lord, as that happens, that we would forgive others, just as you have grace and mercy, that, Lord, we would start to have grace and mercy in our lives. And that even when we see broken people that hurt us, God, just as you healed us from a broken place, we would show forgiveness and love so that they can be healed as well. Lord, if there are people in this room right now, someone who is struggling to let something go, to forgive how they've been hurt, to forgive someone that's deeply wounded them, that's lied to them, that's made them be in pain, God, I pray that just as they accept your forgiveness for their sins, they'd be willing to take that love, that perfect love from you, and they'd be willing to let it flow out from them and offer forgiveness to the other. That they would take that burden off their hearts, and that weight and that stone around their neck. They would give it to you, God. They would forgive their brother and sister. And let your forgiveness wash over them even more. We ask all these things, God, in your precious, holy name.